You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
USC star quarterback Caleb Williams is ready to take his talents to the Shy and put in work. The Bears have struggled to get their quarterback situation ironed out. They're the only franchise to never have a 4,000-yard passer. Dropping knowledge on this guy right here. Marcus Spears. Swaggo.
Swag.
How we doing, friends?
What's up, beautiful people?
How are we?
What's up? Y'all look so good.
Thank you.
You know, you do too.
But
I like my yellow background.
The suit seems similar, like you've been wearing that a little bit too much.
Marcus, before you speak, can I just tell you something?
Oh.
So yesterday he told me, you've looked better, you look ordinary. Then today, he's like, you're really wearing sweatpants on television. I have on a long skirt.
I did not say that on camera. I did not say that on camera, Swaggoo. I did not
say
that.
You didn't say I look ordinary.
This has been a revolving cycle for like 2 years.
I'm talking about the sweatpants.
It got picked up. It was viral. Someone sent me the article.
I was talking about the sweatpants I just said this morning.
You know so.
You understand what I'm saying?
Molly Q, this has been a revolving cycle for like 2 years. I want to know when and where and who in the hell made you the fashion police. I need to know when this started.
Like,
where
did this come from?
Time out. Don't interrupt because this is very important, my answer. Number one is first take, baby. So I made it myself. That's number one. But Swaggoo, I got news for you. Do you know I've been contacted about modeling suits for New York Fashion Week? Did you know
that? Oh, my God.
I'd like to host right now, so I'd like to ask the question. That's my job on the show.
Right.
So I'm just wondering, did you get asked to model for New York Fashion Week, or did you get asked to attend and sit and watch?
I said model with the suits. I speak fluent English. I know what the hell I said.
Oh, model.
Okay, so what I'm trying to say to you,
I was just wondering.
Swaggoo, I'm after something. This is very important. What, oh my Lord, I'm almost going to catch a heart attack saying this. What if they asked me to do it for Fashion Week in Paris? I'm going to have a heart attack.
We're going to find you a new show.
We're going to find you a new show.
I'm going to leave it at that.
I ain't going to say nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, you think I've been in the gym 6 days a week for nothing?
I'm going to have to.
Please, it's a purpose to this.
My gosh,
Molly, I'm going to have somebody get.
Now we're adding modeling to the repertoire. Marcus, this is just
Molly,
too much.
I'm going to have to get somebody to get on the phone. with Anna Wintour and get this nixed right now. She's going to have to cancel this right now.
I have a feeling this isn't brands connected with her. I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay, Marcus? Let's get to the Bears.
I know you ain't talking.
She is the last gavel, though, and she need to cut that one.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Swaggo, let's get into the draft. Love draft night, big night. Tell me this. Would Caleb make Chicago immediate NFC contenders? Like, how good are these parts around him?
Yeah, for the playoffs, absolutely. I get a little leery talking about the Super Bowl. When you look at the NFC right now, it's Detroit, Green Bay. Those are the teams that had a tremendous amount of success. And we know San Francisco obviously has been the head of that conference for the last few years. But ultimately, we see the impact that a quarterback can make. Look no further than Houston and what C.J. Stroud was able to do when he was surrounded with talent in a new situation and nobody knew what that would be. I think Caleb Williams' talent lends itself to that type of resurgence for the Chicago Bears. Y'all, think about this. The NFC is pretty young at quarterback right now. So if you get a transcendent guy, a guy that can really play at a very high level and make the others around him explode, and let's not talk like Keenan Allen is washed. Let's not talk like DJ Moore didn't help that offense ascend. Cole Kmet is there at tight end. I know D.O. Dan Orlovsky loves the thought of Brock Bowers going to Chicago as well with Caleb Williams with pick number 9. But ultimately, we know the damn impact of a quarterback and how fast they can make a team really, really good. And based on what everybody has said and what I've seen and watched Caleb Williams do at USC, he can have that type of impact. And I think the talent is around him. And shout out to Rand Paul's for building this team before they got an opportunity to take the number one pick, who will be Caleb Williams out of USC.
Stop. Just stop it. Okay, listen, the brother can play.
I want to hear this.
The brother can play. I know that. I know Keenan Allen is not washed. DJ Moore could play. They got DeAndre Swift from Philadelphia, by the way, giving props for that.
Yep.
I got all that. Kamek can ball. If they draft Brock Bowers, they got the number 9 over pick as well. That could do some things. But last time I checked, the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers were in this division. And I'm looking at it from that standpoint, and I'm saying, wait a minute now. Unless you telling me this brother Caleb Williams is going to be the second coming of C.J. Stroud, I'm not going to look at him in Chicago and just summarily dismiss Detroit and Green Bay. I'm not saying that you're doing that, Swaggoo. I'm simply saying that I don't look at the talent in a vacuum. When I'm looking at the talent, I'm taking into account your competition, who you're going to go up against. Now, Minnesota, because they don't have a quarterback now because Kirk Cousins is in Atlanta, is a different scenario. But as it pertains to the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers, well, what we saw Green Bay do in the playoffs, what we saw the Detroit Lions do in the playoffs to get to the NFC Championship game, by the way, a legitimate argument. I mean, shoot, at the first half, I mean, they were half away from going to the Super Bowl. I can't summarily dismiss those brothers and what it's going to be like for Caleb Williams to have to go against them. I'm not saying he's not going to be a plus. I know the defense was ranked 12th. I understand that you got personnel that you've added to the mix, but a rookie is a rookie. And unless somebody is willing to definitively tell me, this brother, you saw what you saw from C.J. Stroud? This is what this brother is. He's accounted for 21 rushing touchdowns in his career at USC. He's thrown for 68% of his completed 68% of his pass over 3,600 yards. But they were 8-5 in the Pac-12. They were 8-5 last year as a team after an 11-3 season. Caleb Williams can ball, and still it might not be enough. I'm just saying Detroit and Green Bay are not teams I'm ignoring.
All right, let me rebut, please. One, we didn't know Green Bay would be that deep into the playoffs. And I said on First Take with you, we had no expectation that they would go into Dallas and destroy the Cowboys like they did.
But
we thought they had an opportunity to win. Right. You know who the difference was? It was the quarterback. It was Jordan Love, who we didn't know how he was going to be in that situation.
Okay.
C.J. Stroud took his team to the playoffs in Houston this year. We talked about C.J. Stroud's talent, and a lot of analysts, I got to give them credit, was talking about C.J. should have went before Bryce Young. I wasn't one of those ones. I missed the boat, especially in year one. It's still some time for Bryce Young. But let me get to the point. We saw Detroit on the brink against Chicago when Justin Fields was playing quarterback last season. They had to mount a comeback to beat that team. We know how difficult this is, but we also know how much of a difference a quarterback can make in winning. And to the point about 8-5 at USC, Stephen A., if they didn't have Caleb Williams, they might have went 0-13
okay.
without him at quarterback.
Right. Well,
and the things that he had to do.
Lincoln Riley.
So I just want to give credence to that.
That's an indictment against Lincoln Riley there. That's number one. Number two, again, I'm not
questioning. Well, they played no defense.
No, zero. No surprise there because they didn't play any defense when he was at Oklahoma either. But the point is that I'm looking at Caleb Williams, and in no way am I questioning his potential greatness and the fact that it will come true and we'll see that. I'm simply saying the rookie, meaning next season. I'm not talking about him down the line. I think that he's going to be a star in the National Football League for years to come. I don't like the idea of him throwing in Chicago in November and December at Dan Wind. I think they're going to be running.
You're
the
so
football
worried about everyone in the weather.
Girl, do you see that wind in the Windy City? Yeah. Let me tell you something right now. Do you know what you're talking about?
Yes, I know.
When's the last time you've been in Chicago?
That's why Stephen, they need him.
Don't you remember when we were at NBA All-Star Game in Chicago when it was like below 20?
Yeah, I remember that. That was the last time you probably was there. I've been there recently.
I'm really? Saying
that
when
that wind ain't going nowhere. It was business, sweetheart. It was business. That's how I got to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm being very nice to you right now because I mean, because you're taking everything personal.
Wow.
So I got to be nice with my lingo. The point
Is years back when I was in the league.
Sweetheart.
Years back when I was in the league, Stephen A. They went to a Super Bowl with a quarterback named Rex Grossman, who came from Florida. So the win didn't bother him much, and he didn't carry the team. He was good enough to play for him.
What I'm doing is,
don't tell me about no damn weather. Okay?
Yeah, every quarterback got to play in weather.
Every one of them at some point got to play in weather.
Stephen A., we're about winning and getting paid. We're not worried about the weather.
Well,
me and Marcus are on the same page. Well,
Caleb Williams is going to make them a contender for the playoffs.
It's First Take. So we definitely are about winning and making money. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is that
we can't
in Chicago
get away from it.
In November and December, I mean, you might throw the football, Marcus. You might be throwing it over the middle, and the damn thing might blow into the stands. That's what I'm trying to talk about right
Molly,
now, okay?
Molly,
I know. His point is so
no, what you're saying is
yeah.
All of us are not rich enough to fly to L.A.
Yeah,
when the
Stephen
weather gets
A.,
bad.
Of us
some of us actually
south.
Have to work
like,
in it.
Some of
okay?
us, yeah.
So
we got to grind it out.
Leave it at that. You're getting soft, man. You wasn't this soft when I first started.
Yeah, what's going on?
I'm over the coast. And I know you ain't talking. Did you move back to Texas? Don't get me started with you. Don't you try it. And as
Stephen
far as Molly
I
goes,
did.
Excuse me. When
Stephen
I go
A.,
to
you're
L.A.,
a made
when
man.
I go, when I go to,
you've
I am not.
Got to prove himself.
Don't ever say that. I am not a made man. Don't think that for one second at all. But I will be. But the point that I'm trying to make to you, Swagoo, is this: this girl, Molly. All right. When I go out to L.A., I'm working. She taking walks on the beach. Yes, take walks on the beach.
Steven!
It's gliding. You know
Steven!
You know what I'm saying?
Steven!
There's such a water in the
Stephen
background.
A.
You know, I know y'all ain't talking
first
about me.
First of all, Stephen A. Smith, that's a lie. When we do, I'm working too. We're up at 3:30 in the morning. Show ends at 9 a.m. What am I supposed to do?
I won't tell people on national television your business. But trust me, you're on the beach.
Keep the business in the house.
9 o'clock in L.A.
Keep the business in the house.
You know,
9 o'clock in L.A.
Amazing. Now I can't stay there anymore. So thanks for blowing my spot.
What are you talking about? There's a beach all over the place in L.A. What are you talking about? I didn't say any specific. I didn't say where.
You're the worst.
I did not say where.
Yeah. I literally just said to him, I'm going to come out to L.A. one of these weeks that he's going out there, and now he's got to blow up the spot. Like,
oh, well.
Could you be smooth?
Yeah. On the beach.
Yeah.
On the beach.
Oh, my God.
Marcus, hold on, Stephen A., I take a walk for one hour
to get some fresh air.
I thought you said you didn't do that. I thought you said it was a lie.
I absolutely do.
The question that America wants to know, are you walking by yourself?
Never.
Are you walking by yourself?
Never. Never.
Oh, okay.
Never. Never. But Marcus, I do that everywhere. I like to get a little fresh air, stretch my legs. It's good for your mental health. Security,
oh, okay.
Marcus.
Oh, it's a holistic. That's how she be walking.
Whatever. You walk to the mound like you think you're Derek Jeter or MJ. Like you should see your walk. Can I get Stephen A.'s pitch? Can we show the walk out to his pitch? He thinks he's LeBron James.
Y'all on one this morning,
take
man.
It down a notch.
I walked out there like I was Derek Jeter because Derek Jeter was giving me advice, and I got ahead of myself.
Derek did not tell you to walk like that.
He didn't tell me. Well, I walk how I walk. I mean, it ain't on the beach, though. I know that much. It's not on the beach.
We've definitely seen you on the beach.
If I ever catch you walking like that on the beach, we are no longer going to the beach.
I do
we
not
are no
walk
longer
like
going
that.
To the beach.
He like makes that up. If anything, it's much more of a strut.
I know you don't.
All right, we got to go. People are yelling at me.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person.
And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Lakers trying to avoid a 3-0 hole tonight as they return home to face Murray and the Nuggets for Game 3. After Murray's game-winning shot, Lakers' Anthony Davis was visibly frustrated. In his post-game presser yesterday at Lakers Shootaround, he had this to say about the final sequence of Game 2.
We have stretches where we just don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. And those are the ones that cost us.
I just think sometimes the plays don't turn out the way you think they should, and you know, the frustration sets in a little bit, but I don't think it's for us not being organized. I mean, I think I have incredibly talented coaches all along my staff, and we pride ourselves, whether it's a practice, a shoot around, a film session, a game, whatever, we pride ourselves on being, you know, highly efficient and organized. And so I just chalk that up to being frustrated. You know, it's an emotional game and the way it ended and all of that. But, you know, I'll agree to disagree on that one.
All right. Darvin Ham squashing it there. Stephen A., let me ask you this. Do you feel like AD's comments on Ham's coaching are a big deal?
Yes, it is. To me, it is. Let me say this. Anthony Davis is having... he's had a sensational season, all NBA caliber season, played 76 games this year, deserves a lot of credit. And he, to me, he acts out of character when he comes across as a bit truculent or having an attitude. That's not Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis actually, you know, pretty much stays one of the nicest guys you can ever meet. He really, really is. But he has to be sensitive to what he just said the other day. Wendy, Legs, I want to remind everybody this about the Lakers coach, Darvin Ham. Darvin Ham is only in his second season in the NBA. We all believe he's going home in the first round. Last year, he went home in the conference finals. The only team that's beaten him is the Denver Nuggets. Think about that. The only team that's beaten him in the postseason is and will be the Denver Nuggets. If how many times have people been looking around and saying, damn, if the Lakers somehow, some way didn't have to face that team, the Lakers could win it all. Because we looked at Dallas, we looked at the Clippers, we looked at Oklahoma City, we looked at Minnesota, we looked at everybody. Phoenix, of course. You looked at Boston in the East. You looked at Milwaukee, Philadelphia, New York. Who do you look at and say definitively the Lakers cannot beat? With Anthony Davis and LeBron James playing the way that they played this year and with the way D'Angelo Russell has played the second half of the season, I think it's safe to say that Darvin Ham ain't clueless. I think it's safe to say that a clueless coach couldn't have his team being looked at in that light. And so if you're Anthony Davis, to be two games in, yes, you're averaging 32 and 12 in this series. But for you to sit up there and to talk about how confused or whatever, the words that he used, you know that automatically takes you to coaching. Tim Legler, Wendy, if you remember, in-season tournament in Vegas, I asked Giannis a question in a press conference, and Giannis goes in. And the words that he used, we knew Adrian Griffin was in trouble because of the words that he used. He never said Adrian Griffin's name, but he talked about confusion and discombobulation and not on the same page and all, disorganized, disoriented. Whoa, you don't do that. You don't do that. Anthony Davis has been around long enough to know how that would be interpreted, and I found that very unfortunate, especially when you went scoreless in the fourth quarter. You only attempted one shot. You didn't score for the final 17 minutes of the game when Jokic was your opponent on the other side. I don't like what he did to Darvin Ham. I don't think that was right.
I couldn't possibly agree with you anymore. And what Anthony Davis did was he created an insinuation that directly speaks to some sort of preparation issue. And that's just not what I watched. First of all, in that game, that's not what I watched. That's a team that couldn't have played really better to build the lead. Now, they had some defensive decisions to make down the stretch. I don't know that I would have gone in the way that they did with single coverage on Jokic as much as they did late in the game. The bottom line is they put their two best players on Denver's two best players to end that game. They got the switch that they wanted, and Jamal Murray made a hell of a shot, a lean back shot over an extended arm of Anthony Davis. They win the game, or this series is 1-1. None of these topics come up. You're not asking Anthony Davis about it. Anthony Davis knew what he was saying. This wasn't something where he was kind of caught off guard or off the cuff, or he got a little bit ahead of himself in speaking. He's too smart for that. He knows what this statement was going to lead to, which is questioning if the Lakers believe in the preparation that they have. And I just think it's unfair to Darvin Ham to do that in the middle of a series, particularly when you played as well as you did as a team in that game. I just think it's unfair to do, because that's the kind of thing that can wait till after the season. And number one, it doesn't even have to be for public consumption. Those kind of conversations, if you believe that, you can have those conversations later with the front office after the year, not in the middle of a series when you're trying to now change venues, go home, and get back in the series. I think it's unfair to do to Darvin Ham, and I want to say this is the last point on this. I also think sometimes, man, we put too much into the coaching, and every single trip up the floor had something to do with coaching. The bottom line is they've got LeBron James, one of the most cerebral players who has ever played in this league. So a lot of the decisions they are making on the fly, offensively and defensively, are around LeBron and AD making those decisions. They ran into a buzzsaw offensively in the last 6 minutes of that game. This is the best team in the NBA, and the Lakers were not able to stop that run. And now Anthony Davis, by his comments, has raised again the speculation if Darvin Ham is the right person for this job. And I think it's completely unfair to him.
Number one, as soon as you had that back and forth with Giannis in Vegas, Stephen A., I knew Adrian Griffin was getting fired. And anybody who was in that room that night who was paying attention knew that was going to happen. Number two, you guys are dancing around your point, which is that Anthony Davis blamed Darvin Ham for this loss. That is exactly what he did. He did that very clearly with those comments. It really irritates Lakers fans that some of the strategy decisions, Darvin's been under fire from people in L.A. for a lot of this year. It drove them crazy that he ended that game where they blew a 20-point lead in the second half with two timeouts in his pocket. And anytime you have a loss like that, where there's a 20-point differential like that, where you lose it, even if it was great plays from the Nuggets down the stretch, and even if it was a brilliant shot, someone's going to get their finger pointed at him, and Anthony Davis pointed it right at Darvin Ham. And that is basically, as you said, Legs, that is taking public what have been some clear private tensions. And that's what happens when you have a game like this. It happens to the best teams in the league. I don't care if you've got the smoothest running organization. When you have a frustrating situation like that, especially with high stakes, it tends to reveal certain things. And that's what happened here. And Darvin, basically, he was a little bit softer, but he basically gave it right back to AD. This was two guys kind of throwing meta at each other publicly in a playoff series, and it's not a sign of a functioning and smooth running organization. Now, let me just say, the reason AD is probably upset is because when the Nuggets made the lineup change and they put Aaron Gordon on him, there wasn't a move to go get him shots. The man had made 14 consecutive shots in that game. They completely went away from him. Denver took him out of the game with just a basic maneuver. And when you don't get shots and there's timeouts sitting there on the board, I can kind of get that frustration. That doesn't mean that you go public with it. The other thing is that Darvin Ham, he has got a challenge with him that is probably not pointed out enough, which is that he doesn't have that many two-way players, especially on the perimeter. You know, D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves are not good defensive players. So he's scrambling a lot of times with his lineups and who he arranges to try to get his team to defend. The Lakers are not a good defensive team. They are a worse defensive team this year than they were last year, and he's scrambling to figure that out. But it is not good in the middle of a fight, which they are right now, where you've got a star player and the coach going back and forth with microphones, and that's exactly what we got here.
Well, let me tell you this, a couple of things real quick. First of all, Darvin Ham, again, hasn't lost anybody but the Denver Nuggets. just his second year as a coach, and he's gotten them to the conference finals last year when nobody saw that coming. Certainly, he put himself in a position to have to face Denver in the first round this year because they could have had a more successful season, but they did have injuries. If Vanderbilt was available, if D'Angelo Russell had showed up and played in the first half of the season, maybe. Austin Reeves, we're looking at his development and then how he's tailed off a little bit. We could take those things into consideration as well. But I'm thinking about Chris Gent, his lead assistant, who obviously has a very good resume as an assistant coach. Don't talk to me about Phil Handy. Everywhere he's been as an assistant, they've won championships. In terms of player development and what he's been able to do, okay, not just in Cleveland, not just in Toronto, but in the bubble with the Lakers, okay? There's not you don't talk to me about a lack of preparation when you go to final 17 minutes without scoring a point. Come on, man. I mean, Anthony Davis, I don't give a damn what was lacking. I don't give a damn what little alteration Mike Moore made or whatever. I'm just saying, I'm Michael Malone, I'm sorry. I don't care. At the end of the day, when you're that great, you don't have an excuse to point the finger in a different direction when you go to final 17 minutes of a pivotal game two where you got a 20-point lead and you don't score a single point. Not a single point.
All right, Tim, final
one. One last comment on this, because it was something Wendy said triggered this in my mind. No star player in the history of this league has ever had a viable excuse that they didn't get the ball. I'm sorry. Guys that talented, they find a way to get the ball. There's no excuse for that. First of all, you're a magnet for the ball because role players want to get the ball to those two guys. So naturally, the ball is going to gravitate towards you, particularly when you got it rolling. So I just don't think that's ever – you don't hear great players historically talk about, well, I just didn't get the ball tonight. That's just not a viable excuse because the ball funneled to you. That's the way offenses are set up. And you've got LeBron James on the court, the greatest orchestrator of offense this league's ever seen, directing it. That's not an excuse for Anthony Davis to act like they didn't run anything for me or they didn't put me in position. Man, stop that. You're 6'11", athletic with a great jump shot. Go get the basketball. You and LeBron can figure out a way to put it in your hands.
Yeah.
Brian Windhorst, it's great. I caught my second win thanks to you, buddy. Talk soon. I like the tie.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, the Dallas Cowboys announced they have picked up Micah Parsons' fifth-year option on his rookie deal, which is over $21 million. Parsons still has his eyes set on a contract extension in Dallas, and so does quarterback Dak Prescott. But Jerry Jones doesn't seem to be in a rush to commit long-term to his quarterback yet. Take a listen.
Well, we'd like to see some more leaves fall. We'd like to see some more action. It's called option quarterback. I've spent my life being an option quarterback. I want to see a few more cards play. We want Dak, and we think that there's room for growth. Dak, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, I can't even blink on that one.
All right, Marcus.
Jerry spent his life being an option quarterback. He wants to see more of that. What are your thoughts?
Listen, I hate to be dramatic. It's sad because this is the revolving cycle, y'all. Don't it feel like we've been here before? I had Dallas Cowboy fans come up to me in the airport. I have them see me when I'm home and I'm around town. What are we doing? Why didn't we make any free agency moves? What's going on with the Cowboys? And I tell them, like, it's a revolving cycle at this point that people are getting tired of. Look, Jerry understands that Dak Prescott is one of the best players on his roster. Micah Parsons is arguably the best player. CeeDee Lamb, one of the top five wide receivers in the NFL, in my opinion. It's like, what breaking news is it that I got to try to get these guys signed? And if you're not going to try to get Dak Prescott signed, you need to have been doing your due diligence way before now to try to figure out how you want to go into the future at the quarterback position. Dak going to make $55 million this year. You know why he going to make that, Stephen A. and Molly? Because you waited till the midnight hour to sign his last contract. So it wasn't, you didn't smarten up and you got to this point. You saying you need to see more of what? He doesn't play well in the playoffs. That's what it is. So if you're making the decision based off that alone, then you probably need to try to figure out who's going to be your next quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. If you think about the regular season and you think about how good he was throughout the regular season, then what the hell are you waiting on to try to renegotiate a contract and get more money so you can build out the rest of the team? It's old now. People are starting to catch on to the game. Dallas draft well. They take care of their players that come in and do a phenomenal job. They sign them to extensions, and nobody really bats an eye at it because these guys have been productive and helps this team win. But ultimately now we're sitting here at a point where you got to pay three of the faces of your franchise. You don't know what you have as far as a football team. You've said loudly that you're going to depend on rookies in order to be good. And it's not necessarily about what Dallas does. It's about what everybody else has done. We just talked about Caleb Williams coming to Chicago Bears, and Stephen A. went away from that and talked about how good two other teams were in his division. I think that's where Jerry is missing the boat. Yes, we know you got to be creative in cap situations and you got to try to figure out how to get players there. Everybody else getting good, though. And Dallas is standing pat, and they got three guys that's going to own about 80% of their salary cap. So here's where we are. You can't do nothing because you put yourself in this situation with your quarterback. You got to pay two of your youngest budding stars a lot of money, so you're going to be hamstrung there, and we're going to be in this revolving cycle of Stephen A. talking about all year, just wait. That's how we end up here every single year.
I don't like it when it's this easy to troll the Cowboys. I like the suspense. I like them to lie to the American people, to convince them that somehow, some way, things are going to be different, to suck everybody in, and then ultimately fall flat on their face. Not for the Cowboys organization, but for the Cowboy fans, who I happen to believe is the most disgusting, nauseating fan base in the history of America. Are we going to win? You know we're going to win the Super Bowl next
we
year.
We sick of you, too.
You know we're going to win the Super Bowl
next
year,
We sick of you,
right?
too.
Okay, all right. Well, I don't care. They're not
we sick of
me.
You, too.
And they love me. They love yeah. me. But here's the
we
deal.
We can't control what they do in the front office.
But here's the deal. You know, Jerry Jones, you know, we cool with each other. I got a lot of love for Jerry Jones. I like him a lot. And I'm not going to troll right now. Marcus, I'm dead serious. I'm not joking around. I'm not talking about the fans. I'm just going to be real serious with Jerry Jones here. You really need to stop. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. And if I was in Jerry Jones' office and I was talking to him one-on-one, I'd tell him this to his face. You see, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. What do you mean you've been a quarterback all your life? Yeah. You've been a guy that's been willing to wheel and deal. You've been a guy that likes options and what have you. And I get that part. He's not lying about that because he is that way as a businessman, and this worked very, very well for him. That's why the Dallas Cowboys are valued at $9 billion when everybody else is hovering around 4, 5, or 6. But here's the thing, Swaggoo. Jerry Jones, did you like? You trying to tell me you thought you were a wild card? You were about that wild card mentality when Troy Aikman was your quarterback? Was it really that way? Of course it was not, because you knew you had a champion. You knew you had somebody capable of delivering a championship. It might have been that wild card mentality with everything else, but it wasn't that way with the quarterback. When it came to the quarterback, that was Troy Aikman. You weren't having that. So let's get that out the way. When we think about the great ones, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's of the world, the Aaron Rodgers of the world to a lesser degree, the Patrick Mahomes, present day or whatever, what are you talking about wild card? You trying to tell me you'd like the wild card and the haphazard mentality and this whole notion of let's see, show me what you got, show me what you got, as opposed to a sure thing at the quarterback spot? We all know better. And here's the proof in the pudding, because Jerry Jones is the ultimate businessman, right, Swaggoo? Swaggoo, in front of me, I have stats. And those stats are about active quarterbacks with most career NFL earnings through the upcoming 2024 NFL season. Aaron Rodgers is at number one at $380.6 million, 11 career playoff wins, one Super Bowl title, five conference title games. Matthew Stafford is number two at $359.3 million, four wins, one Super Bowl title. Russell Wilson is at $306.6 million, nine career playoff wins, one and one in Super Bowl appearances. Kirk Cousins, okay, is number four at $294.2 million, a 1-3 record in playoff starts. And Dak Prescott is number five at $196.3 million, a 2-5 record in playoff starts, not a single conference title appearance.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones, the businessman that you know him to be, Swaggoo, you trying to tell me you cool spending that amount of money on a brother that can't even get you past the second round, past the divisional playoff round? Stop. Stop it.
Nope.
Get it together.
Yep. Stephen
Get it
A.
together somehow.
Stephen
somewhere.
A, I love what you just did, because it's what I talked about when I first started talking. Mm-hmm. All of this is based off the playoffs. And if it's based off the playoffs with Dak Prescott, you need to move on. If it's just based off of that, because the evaluation as far as paying him during the regular season, he has as legit of an argument to go out on the open market and command $100 million guaranteed like Kirk Cousins did in Atlanta.
Right.
But don't play the fans. Don't play us into thinking that you being some brilliant businessman when it comes to your quarterback. Just say, this guy, I don't believe is going to win playoff games, and I don't feel comfortable giving him $60 million a year. That's all you need to say. And everybody can accept that, and we can move on to whatever y'all decide to do at the quarterback position. But to linger these fans on about what you think Dak Prescott is, and when his name comes up, I think about the quarterback position. Man, stop that foolishness, man. If you got doubts, it's because of the playoffs, and the playoffs don't garner $60 million for Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, usually I always have more to add, but it's not necessary. It really is. It would just be popping
13
on.
13 consecutive playoff appearances yet to go to a conference championship game. Longest streak.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right. Tonight, the Knicks head to Philly for Game 3 with a 2-0 lead in the series. The last time these two squared off, it came down to the final seconds as the Knicks held on to win. Joel Embiid has outplayed Jalen Brunson in this series, but the Knicks still up 2-0. Embiid has scored 29 and 34 points in the two games. Brunson, meanwhile, shooting under 30% from the field and has made just 2 three-pointers on 12 attempts. Tim, I know you got a lot of love for Philly.
I do.
Can you speak some life into them right now?
Listen, yes. And I'm talking not just to the Philadelphia 76ers right now. I'm talking mainly to their fan base, the people that are going to be in Wells Fargo tonight. This is a blue-collar town. A lot of these people are my friends, my family. They love this franchise. What they understand and what they know to fight, to scrap, to pick yourself up. They're down 2-0. They had a game basically practically stolen from them at the end of game two. And you know what they need out of you tonight? They need you to uplift them. Come with that energy and that vibe that you just saw the Knicks fans give their team in Madison Square Garden. That's what you need tonight in Wells Fargo. This team is not going to go quietly into the night. You got a superstar playing on one damn leg, doing everything he can. You got a young emerging superstar doing everything he can, playing at an all-world level. They need you tonight in Wells Fargo to get this team back into this series. Stay with them. If they get off to a slow start, don't bail on them. Don't create anxiety for them. Lift them up. Get them ready to go and carry them to a win and get this team back in the series.
I mean, I'm ready to run out the tunnel.
Let's go. You're going to be one of them people
tonight.
Why are you in the dark like that?
Because I wanted them. I wanted him to give a motivational speech to Philly in Philly tonight. I'm going to be there, okay? But I'll be damned if I was going to give the Sixers a motivational speech. That ain't part of my agenda. So I wanted him to do it. And boy, did you step up.
Yeah. My phone's gonna get flooded with texts. My boys are gonna be there. They're gonna be watching.
They're gonna be watching.
Proud of you, boy.
And listen, you know I love you, right,
man? That's right. That's all right, man.
I want to see you. I want to see you in tears after the game.
I'm not gonna be in tears.
I want to see you in tears after the game.
It don't matter. It's a series, baby. And one game don't make the series.
All right. Tell me this: who's more likely to win Game 3 tonight? Let's be objective: the Lakers or the Sixers?
I'm saying the Sixers. Here's why. First of all, it's your opponent.
Yep.
Look, the Knicks, I have a lot of respect for the year they've had, the year Jalen Brunson has had, how tough they are, how they fight. They didn't quit the other night. Here's the thing, though. This is a team that's not an offensive juggernaut, right? They got some fluctuations. There's more margin for error there if you're the Sixers because of who you're playing. And here's the other thing. Remember what Joel Embiid said at the end of the game the other night? What did he say? We're going to win the series.
He did. He couldn't make eye contact.
I'm surprised we haven't talked more about
that. By the way,
I love when athletes do it. I don't get into this. Oh, my God, he made a prediction they're going to win. Of course.
Guys.
But he said, we're going to win the series. Well, you can't do that unless you win tonight. And that's why I think he's going to back it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, to show my objectivity.
You have 30 seconds.
The Knicks, I think the Knicks have a very daunting task tonight. The Sixers should win the night's game.
Oh, this is now,
No, I didn't say the Knicks were going to sweep them. You're going to win a game because if the Sixers don't win tonight, I'm going to bring out the broomsticks. They better win tonight. But the Knicks show up. Jalen Brunson, let's get it together, baby. Knicks got this. Just not.
Enjoy the draft.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.